24-30 and 36-43. If you'd like to follow it in the Pew Bible, you can find it on page 989. The parable of the weeds. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed ears, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you are pulling up the weeds, you may root up the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time I will tell the harvesters, 'First collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn.'" The parable of the weeds explained. Then he left the crowd and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field." He answered, "The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the people of the kingdom. The weeds are the people of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are the angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw him into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Those who have ears, let them hear." This is the word of the Lord.
Well, I wonder if any of you have any weeds growing in your gardens. Anyone? I'm sure, actually, I've seen some of your perfectly manicured lawns and back gardens and shrubberies, and it all looks fantastic. But just maybe, like us, in our garden, there are one or two weeds in there as well. But when is a weed not a weed? That's the title of this first part of this morning's talk. And I found a very good definition, I like this definition, of what a weed actually is. A weed is defined as a plant growing where you don't want it. I thought that was really good. Does that sound a little bit better? You know, a weed is just a plant growing where you don't want it. And I was thinking about that, about some of the weeds we might find in our gardens. So, some of you may have one or two dandelions growing in your gardens. Common dandelions, hands up if you've spotted those growing out of your lawns. Yeah, those who haven't, can you come and tell us your secrets, please? So, common dandelions, it's a weed, isn't it? It's a pain having a weed. But even the dandelion can be put to good use. And so, has anyone ever had a can of dandelion and burdock? Just a few, mainly the older generation. Or how about, and probably the older generation as well, dandelion wine? Yeah? You want some dandelion wine? Very nice. Or some of you may even have tried this delicacy. Fried dandelion and rice. Why not? I don't suggest you try it when you get at home, but even the common dandelion, a weed, can be put to good use. Now, in our garden, well, not in, yeah, round and about our garden, there's one or two of these growing. But the size of this one does say something about my gardening skills, doesn't it? The fact that there's brambles this long that I could just, you know, clip off this morning before I came up here. So they're a bit irritating if you get brambles, aren't they? They get caught in things and they get tangled with other plants. But what comes from these brambles? Well, beautiful, juicy blackberries. And towards the end of August, I love just to, as I'm out walking the dog, just be wandering along the hedgerows and picking juicy blackberries and just trying them. Sometimes we'll pick a whole load and make blackberry and apple pie, or maybe some of you might make blackberry jam or something like that as well. So it's a weed, it's a pain in one context, but actually it can be used as something good. Now, the next one, St. John's wort is another plant that you may find growing round and about your gardens, or certainly in the countryside round and about. And this is actually used as part of the treatment against depression. It can also be used for tea bags, believe it or not, as a mood stimulant as well. And what about if you go to the seaside? We've got to have a seaside theme as it's the beginning of August and the sun's been shining for the last 2 or 3 weeks. What about if you go to the seaside? You get seaweed. don't you? Seaweed. And is that good? You slip on it, it's a bit of a pain in places. But if I go to a Chinese restaurant, one of the things that I will order, if at all possible, is fried seaweed. Because it is absolutely fantastic. It is delicious. And so all of these things that we see as weeds in different ways, things that we think have no value at all, do have value in a different context. What we see as worthless in the world sometimes still has value to our Heavenly Father, to God. And He challenges us to see things and people differently. And that's what He often did in His parables. He gave an illustration using something that was very much everyday, and He challenged people to think about a situation in a different manner and to think about other people in a different way. And that's what we're going to be doing as we go through these next few weeks. Being challenged to think differently about situations, to think differently about people. More of that later. But for now, someone who's been challenged, or a couple of characters have been challenged a bit about how they see others. Lucy and Bert. See, we recognise that we betray that beauty sometimes through the way we treat others and the way we live our lives. We're sorry about that, Lord God. Help us to see things. Help us to see others as you see them. And to be people who express your love in word and action. Amen. Do be seated. So we make judgments sometimes about weeds and plants, don't we? But we also make judgments about people. And so the first time we meet someone, we're likely to make a judgment about them. We may not speak out a judgment, but we may, in our mind, judge them on their appearance, on their accent, the way they present themselves. There's many factors that come into play, and we can make judgments of other people. And sometimes we can also be a bit dismissive of ourselves. And you've got an example of that in the Bible with the character of Gideon. If you remember the story of Gideon, an angel comes to Gideon, and as it says up here, Gideon was out threshing wheat one day, and an angel of the Lord appeared to him. The angel told Gideon he was to save his people from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." That was how God saw Gideon, mighty warrior. How did Gideon respond to that? Anyone remember? If you're not sure, turn to page 249 in your Bibles. They're at the end of the pews there. 249. Have a look halfway down the right-hand column. And who can tell me how Gideon responded? Verse 15, as he's told that he's got to go in the strength of the Lord. How does he respond? Yeah. Manasseh, brilliant. So, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family. So, he was saying, well, I'm just not good enough. You know, here was God appearing via an angel, through an angel, and saying, you know, you're a great and mighty warrior. I'm going to use you to defeat the Midianites. But Gideon himself, he'd made a judgment of himself and said, well, can't be me. I'm the weakest. My tribe is the smallest. And then, sometimes we can also be dismissive of others. And so the children and the adults helping at the holiday club this week have been thinking about that theme. We've got this wonderful image of Joseph over here to my right. And if you remember the story of Joseph, it's the brothers who are dismissive of him for all sorts of reasons. They're jealous of him because his father has given him this beautiful coat. They're jealous of him because he's been having dreams where he's basically been saying that one day they'll bow down to him. And so the brothers make a judgment of Joseph and they try and do away with him. They throw him into a pit. First of all, they think of actually killing him, but eventually they sell him to a group of passing traders. And that's part of the wonder of the story, that God uses that instance to bring about good. And then we've got this picture of Joseph in prison. But as I was looking at this picture earlier, I was thinking it could just as easily have been another character in the Bible. Who else was put in prison? Think New Testament this time. Yeah? Peter's possibility? Who else? Paul! Paul is possibility. So, Paul started out life as Saul, okay, and he ended up in prison for his faith and all that he stood for. But before that happened, Saul had been persecuting the Christians. He'd been, as a Jew, he had it in for the Christians, and he was wanting to do away with them. And it talks about him sort of giving permission for some of his mates to kill Christians and to cause trouble for the Christians. And so when Saul had this amazing experience on the road to Damascus, this conversion experience, he came and joined the fledgling Christian community. And the others in that Christian community were saying, well, he's been persecuting us. How can he possibly be one of us? They made a judgment. So in the words of a parable that Jesus told, they would have seen him as a weed. They would have seen him as someone who couldn't possibly bring anything good. And if they'd followed through on that judgment and not allowed Paul into the Christian community and just ostracized him completely, I wonder what would have happened. So we can make judgments about all sorts of people, all sorts of situations. But I think sometimes we need to ask ourselves, who are we to judge? We know that one day God will judge, but all of us will be accountable to God. But that doesn't mean that we can start going around judging people and being dismissive of others around us. Because every single person in this world is precious to God. And we might be the one who helps them discover God's love in a new way. Because in God's economy, even a bramble with all its spikes and all of its disruptive influence can produce something incredibly beautiful, like those juicy blackberries. So that's a challenge for us to think about this morning, about whether we end up judging other people. And actually, whose right is that? Ultimately, it's only God's. We're going to continue in prayer, I believe.